She has no basis for accepting the extraterrestrial nature of these contacts, and is left with no alternative but to believe that her husband of so many years is being taken away from her by a clever Earth woman. 8. Here is another reference to a greater soul development for Professor Hernandez than most of his contemporaries. Many UFO contactees are eventually told that they have voluntarily incarnated on this planet at this time to carry out a specific preordained mission. This was noted in the cases of Edward Meyer and Edwin White, as well as with a great many others. 9. This is a remarkable confirmation that Tom's extraterrestrial contacts were with the same group of ETs as Hernandez. Part 6. From Chapter 16, One More Witness. The following notes are from November 978 diary pages. I traveled only 4 times in the ship of Laya, but she always met me in places least imaginable to me. I saw her today at the university. She came by the place as I was parking my automobile. She greeted me with her hand at the level of her eyes. I smiled. I invited her to get into my car. I wanted to talk to her. Laya, how is it that you always find me in the most unexpected places? That is relatively easy, Professor. I have already told you that your radiant energy is different from the others. Such is as different as the lines in the hand of each individual. 1. Do you think that if I told anyone that I had had conversations with an extraterrestrial woman, they would believe me? No. Perhaps not. But listen, Professor. This is precisely why it is that many races from other civilizations can come to this planet in all tranquility. If they gave a person some proof, they would not believe it. Laya, why do you not speak in public? Why not present yourselves on television? They would not believe it, Professor. Our appearance is similar to yours. The genetic scheme from which we are created has been similar to yours, with the difference of a certain number of years. Your DNA degenerates and ceases to produce healthy cells, but there is not much chemical difference between us, except that we have strict control of our organs. Our DNA, instead of deterring the advance of cells, propitiates them and works to continue the age. 2. Talia had mentioned her age of 900 years, similar to some other cases. I have already explained this to you before, because this occurred with your ancestors. I had the opportunity to know of a man in Switzerland. He lacked one arm. He was having contact with persons from the Pleiades. I had access in a form that was mostly discreet. We, at a level of advanced interplanetary civilizations, help each other, and we share our knowledge in such on the level of civilizations. We see with great pain that you do not participate among yourselves in this. Very well, this man is called Billy, and he has had many encounters. The Pleiades civilization has delivered samples to him. They have permitted him to photograph and film their ships. He has ridden in the ships with several extraterrestrial women. They gave him a sample of metal from which their ships are made. It is a form of self-regenerating metal. It is like your cells, but of a chemical mineral configuration. Well, they permitted him to take samples and to film them. He has taken many photographs. You know that you cannot film or take photographs of our ships if we do not want it. Those of the Pleiades permitted it. For what happened then? At first nobody believed him. Nevertheless, when he offered to show the sample of mineral they had given him, it changed the events. He was investigated. He was repeatedly questioned at great length. They accused him of being, above all, the greatest fanatic, to claim he had samples of his lies. Very well informed people and some scientists doubted this. And likewise, as with him, they gave samples to a very important Russian, who died after his interrogations, or perhaps from the emotional impact on him to know that he was being contacted by someone of extraterrestrial origin. You are not the only one to be advised about the dangers among yourselves. To him also they spoke about a race that threatens your humanity, and which will be arriving around the end of the 1990s, if not sooner. You will believe that they are a race like us. But no. They could be of a different configuration. But they are very destructive and cruel. When they arrive, they will know about your position, both defensively and offensively, because they do not come in peace. Billy knows this, and they, who come from the Pleiades, know that one Swiss man could be better heard in the world, and thus it was. though he was not listened to, as he should have been. I tell you, Professor, that if any race comes to your world, it will come with all the powers it has accumulated over the time of millenniums, and you will have no alternative but to accept their presence. Billy knows this, and not only him, there are more in the world. But some have preferred to remain silent. Others are simply spectators on the threshold of such happenings. And you perhaps can contribute one grain of sand, but finally, it will be that they will doubt you as they have Billy. This is a most remarkable turn of events. Very seldom do we get real cross-corroboration of one UFO case with another, and only twice before, to our knowledge, by specific contact events. In another one of those strange coincidences that keep coming up in this phenomena, and perhaps one reason I was led to him or he to me, Wendell Stevens, Lieutenant Cole, USAF, RET, formerly an officer in the Air Technical Intelligence Center of the Foreign Technology Division of the Air Materiel Command at Wright Field, the parent office under which both Projects Sign and Grudge, and later Project Blue Book, were organized while he was there, just happened to be the lead investigator of an American team made up of professional, licensed investigators, who conducted the most extensive private UFO investigation in history of a single case, and that was the Pleiades contacts with Eduard, Billy, Mia in Switzerland. They were doing this in 1977 and 1978 also, and were in Switzerland at the time the professor received his information and made his notes. Nothing of what the professor was being told had been published out of Switzerland up to the time he was told it. The people in Switzerland knew nothing of the professor or of his contacts, and he had never heard of them, or Mr. Muir, except in the reference from Liar just quoted. We have asked Cole Stevens for a brief on the Muir photographs of the Pleiadian ships just mentioned. About the hundreds of Muir photographs, see link or here, and the many online videos on the case FX this, from Chapter 17, Changes Overcome Me. The following notes are from diary pages from March 1979. Absorbed in my thoughts, I had not realized that all around me had come to a stop. Escaping from my reality is when I can remember what Lia had told me days before. I shiver not only to remember, but to simply pronounce her name, to know that she, at some point in this vast universe, has found the answer for her presence in this world. I looked toward the window and I noticed that it had become dark outside. It was already late. At this point in the infinite, in which I had touched life, clouds had gathered and were forming immense cumulus masses that undulated violently, sketching fantastic configurations in the blue sky. I watched it rain and was moved by the fury with which the drops of water lashed the window. Lia had given me an incalculable inheritance. She had taught me to love my world with all, and what I encountered today revolted me. But there was something very important about this. I had changed too, not only at the emotional level, but at a psychic level as well. Where was it that I got this? I had considered the conversations that I had obtained with Lia and the slow but inexorable change in me a great deal, which at times I did not myself comprehend. My conduct had changed, sensitizing me to a high degree, but this I did not ask for, nor did I solicit any change. No, this did not come in any rapid manner. It was slow, like sparks of metamorphosis. These changes at first were spaced out until each time they came more frequently. My mind had expanded, and my power of concentration had become sharpened. I could perceive any sound in great detail, and surprisingly, could repeat such any time I desired, and analyze it completely, including its musical derivations, if it had any. All for me now had no beginning nor end, nor rise nor decline. It is as if each point in my imagination suffers thousands and thousands of changes. My thoughts separate into interesting concepts. All that occurs to me is subjected to profound analysis by me. I am sure that because of my encounters with Lia, all in my life had suffered a transformation. My mind has been modified. It is as if I am living within a vortex, where all his great reason for being. For example, if I think on the word mind, this same thought stimulates my imagination, and my capacity to discern comes to me immediately. Then I see a brain. Thousands of concepts recorded in it and a movement induced through the same thought-like energy and water switch generates these stimulus. The same word suffers a distortion far beyond my knowledge of it, far beyond the explanation for this word found in a dictionary. I had asked myself many times if in this manner the human being could utilize a greater percentage of his capacity for concentration and learning, surpassing the normal levels in any individual. This situation, or mental state, is that which I had opted to call power of infinite concentration, for lack of any other concept, and moreover, still from previous knowledge concerning this phenomenon, had brought really an indescribable change to my life. For example, if I perceived a determined aroma, let us say of a flower, to my mind would come innumerable ideas of landscapes where such a flower could have originated. I would think of its origins, from the unicellular beginning of the seed to the simple representation of color and aroma previously registered in its respective seed. I would immediately know its possibilities of duration, then perceive a succession of ideas about how to plant and grow them, in what parts of the world, resistance to climate, its industrialization, medicinal as well as for food, its possibilities for grafting and for sprouting. Finally its formula and then its preservation. All this without reading about it in any other place. Lia had explained to me how only one page could contain hundreds of formulas according to their own characteristics. Well then, it is as if I myself have been converted into a computerized being to an undefined level. Now let us apply this to my personal life. For example, when I see a man, whatever his ancestry might be, I perceive various characteristics. His extraordinary ones, levels of vibrational frequency, his origins, his blood chemistry composition and other questions. On the other hand, there comes to my mind the origin of the DNA and the gene from which he descended, and I can know if he descended then from a mixed or a pure race, how many generations have passed before him to his present state, from that obtaining his hereditary character, and from one as well as his physical characteristics. If I meet a man of the Negro or Japanese race, we consider both of those pure races. Upon taking his hand I can perceive his vibratory waves more or less acutely depending on the biological chemical combinations of his genetic makeup, and other traits which for questions of reproduction have been modified. I can compare him with others which have been mixed, and with various races that emit various frequencies. These two races have a characteristic odor and their glands are different from those of the white or copper races. I can perceive his spiritual state by means of his stimulus and know then his tendencies and the nature of his thoughts. Lia had told me one time, "You will someday understand my form of being and of thought, because you yourself will experience something much like what occurs with me, and that what for me is normal for you is incomprehensible. For that, when I experience all the situations that I have narrated, you will come to the conclusion that on the planet of Lia such phenomena could also occur, and that it is very possible that she possesses characteristics perhaps more sharp and elevated than that which I experience." One time Lia had said to me, "If you could listen, you would be delighted with the beautiful sound of your universe itself." Little by little I began to understand the quality of her development to that level of mental perception, and to me it seemed a formidable portent. It convinced me one more time that the human race, a valuable representative element of his existence, had lost this marvelous ability in some lamentable form. For me, to experience this was to reach the stars with my hands. But what could I do with this in a world like ours? Could I do something when I perceived that some human being suffered intensely with his health? Could I avoid a continental level of confrontation? No. Then I remembered that as a human being I could be, through this sensitivity recently acquired, an easily vulnerable being. Part 7, from Chapter 18. Early visits to Earth, Lia said to me, "As you know, the atmospheric perturbations that frequently are registered on your planet came from space. It is there where the innumerable climatic changes are born. Nevertheless, those are the result of major phenomena, some natural, others artificial." She paused a moment and then continued, "Space offers an infinite accumulation of surprises. When we came here for the first time, you were registering on your calendar the year 1249. and the planet, absolutely, was very different from what you find today. We crew members of the ship exhibited our surprise at the simplicity of the people, utilizing rudimentary weapons when we already possessed a technology that would have evoked great surprise among those inhabitants of each one of the societies that we encountered at that time in conflict. In the manner that you arrived before? I asked without believing that she had heard me. Yes, but my charge was not the same as it is now. Then we simply studied and my first trip was only exploratory. And now, your trip is likewise to explore? Not necessarily, but you will know later why. Now let me continue explaining the atmospheric changes with relationship to the forms of life existing between the years 1200 and 1350. During this lapse of time, we made various trips, at least one each 20 years. We discovered that the climactic changes curiously influence the comportment of the Earth people. Your planet, Professor, belongs to those inhabited ones of the group that you call the Milky Way, and it is an extremely fickle body. 3. This is a clear indication that Lyar is aware of other inhabit planets in our part of the Milky Way, and that some of those other groups of inhabitants have an origin in common with us. This was very carefully pointed out by the female extraterrestrial cosmonaut, Sam Jays, in the Swiss case as well. There is a great diversity of climate around this tiny world. This is because of modifications in your solar system. Well, as a result of those changes being analyzed, we discovered some surprises in space. Cosmic clouds, or intermittently radioactive clouds, as we call them, were encountered with unusual frequency. They almost drove us away step by step. They are not detectable by the human eye. Our sensors locate them and we evade contact. We have special sensors for our space navigation. For us, these clouds, because of the ability to detect and avoid them, are not dangerous, and thus represent no threat. With the objective of protecting ourselves, we open a compartment door and expel a neutralizing gas whose principal component is highly concentrated oxygen. Nevertheless, for you it is offensive. It would damage your world. It would provoke changes in radio waves, for turbulence in the air and in your electricity, and would generate problems by the alteration of the energy wavelengths. But the most important damage would be to your neurons. Notes 1. This apparently is in reference to Lyar's trip to Earth for the first time, because she has already mentioned that her ancestors had come here many thousands of years ago. 2. There are accounts of human beings of the white race descending from circular flying machines over Europe in the early centuries of this millennium. One report of this nature said that the citizens of Lyon, from, brought such a pair of entirely human-ET creatures, seen to come down from a hovering ship, to the Bishop of Abelard for confinement. The bishop ordered them released and they went back to their ship and left. 3. This is a clear indication that Lyar is aware of other inhabit planets in our part of the Milky Way, and that some of those other groups of inhabitants have an origin in common with us. This was very carefully pointed out by the female extraterrestrial cosmonaut, Sam Jays, in the Swiss case as well. 4. We are very well aware of the effects of EMP, electromagnetic pulse, on the physical nature of our universe. EMP is a very dangerous phenomenon resulting from high-altitude atomic explosions and the radiation effects that propagate from them. See Electromagnetic Pulse by Karl Krasilnicki, copyright 1984. See also the following, Science 83, February 1983, pages 40-49, Electronics Australia, April 1983, pages 14-19, Scientific American, 3 January 1984, pages 23-33, The Anti-Gravity Handbook, 1984, pages 69-71. Please note that these diary notes for this chapter were made in March of 1979, another prediction verified. From Chapter 19, Our Explosive Atmosphere. Where do these clouds came from? I asked. Their origins, she answered, are diverse. These clouds also have various chemical components, gaseous, and many times such components are not the same due to the effect of fusion between one gas and another. The least percentage of them is inoffensive, but a greater part is highly dangerous. Your scientists, have chosen a bad time for your nuclear tests, because the liberated energy of the atom attracts these clouds like a magnet, actually surrounding the Earth and adhering to the stratosphere. One, sometimes they orbit forming transparent rings around the Earth. 2.1. This kind of information has also been given to a UFO contactee in Minnesota by an extraterrestrial human being who says he comes from an inhabited planet associated with the star system Alcyone in the Pleiades constellation. LZ, the contactee, has published an extensive report on his version of this situation and sent it to several scientists for evaluation. 2. These rings are described in detail to LZ by the Pleiadian being from Alcyone, who discussed the mechanics of their formation and how they adversely affect our planet and all life on it. There was no contact between the contactee in Minnesota and either the professor in Mexico or the farmer in Switzerland. In the years 1220-1300, those clouds, not finding any point of support in the stratosphere, were repelled by the enormous mantle of oxygen encountered on your planet. In that manner, a large part of the gases was repelled. With the passage of time, the damage, though detectable, left minimum residual effects. We found cosmic clouds far beyond the system expelled in a certain way by spatial inertia. But today the characteristics of the chemical and nuclear weapons is such that it will be difficult, I must tell you, to disperse them from the environs of the Earth. 3. I must tell you something else. Some substances that make up these gases are highly explosive! ! The space satellites could contribute something to this, but really the majority only detect some anomalies, and many times these are not appropriately interpreted by your scientists for lack of a point of comparison. This phenomenon is unknown to your scientists. And those gases, highly dangerous and, as I told you, explosive, could make your Earth vanish if anyone would expel a gas that would stimulate the cosmic clouds. The slightest cover contains heavy particles, whose special components are nitrogen, hydrogen, and oxygen among others, as well as lead emitted by the contamination from some countries. This is beginning to cover your planet like a cupola. The unmoderated mixture will deprive the neutralizing elements such as oxygen of beneficial effect. Other clouds come from other places. Some only are converted into light gases as they travel through space, but others come to form veritable communities of clouds of such form that visibility is not possible through many kilometers of space. In the system from where I come, there is a band of what you would call photons. Also there is one in the Pleiades, and it is from there that we have ties of scientific interchange with them. We denominate this phenomenon as one of transformation. This is because an organism, when it makes contact with the photon, human beings, animals and plants, it suffers profound transformations. There is immediate organic disintegration. Well then, like with the cells, those atoms propagate, and when the nebulosity becomes overcharged, it explodes and expels these clouds throughout the universe. They travel slowly, considering that there are no gases to transport these nebulas, and as they are very heavy, their movement is slow. They do not come very far, but in space they reach enormous distances. Some of these clouds have come in various ages to the Earth. The photon was known in rudimentary form, without calculations of propagation and distance, and absolutely lacking of precautions, because in those different epochs in which those clouds or gases were present, the terrestrials were not prepared. Nor are you prepared today, despite your advances in technology, because you don't take much time to look up with the proper knowledge. You fill your space with useless debris without thinking of the dangers that also will come from the outside. But what does that mean? How must we study? You know that the terrestrian always has needed a comparative point to determine the nature of some object or thing in question. Frequently they detect chemical components through metaphysical calculations, biologies, physics, etc. The origin of all this is precisely in the contrary of the movement of the molecules and its development. The gas alone is the effect. Notes 1. This kind of information has also been given to a UFO contactee in Minnesota by an extraterrestrial human being who says he comes from an inhabited planet associated with the star system Alcyone in the Pleiades constellation. LZ, the contactee, has published an extensive report on his version of this situation and sent it to several scientists for evaluation. 2. These rings are described in detail to LZ by the Pleiadian being from Alcyone who discussed the mechanics of their formation and how they adversely affect our planet and all life on it. There was no contact between the contactee in Minnesota and either the professor in Mexico or the farmer in Switzerland. 3. One difficulty in dispersing these harmful clouds now is the similar harmful gases that we are putting around our planet which attract those other harmful gases under the laws of affinity. 4. Another group of different ETs who tell their contactee, Edwin White of Pinetown, South Africa, that they come from an inhabited planet in another system, also describe this high volatility being reached in our atmosphere. They have an emergency plan they call Project Fireball to try to rescue as many of their people here as possible in case we are in danger of igniting the explosive mass. They say we have already reached that danger level and they have now evacuated their people. A certain kind of thermonuclear burst at a certain level in outer atmosphere is enough to trigger this today. See UFO Contact from Planet Colders, by Carl van Vlieden. From Chapter 20, Antimatter. Antimatter? The professor asked. You could give it that name for an approximation, but it is not exactly antimatter, Liar said, because to exist as such, antimatter would have to possess a force equal to the matter, but in a negative manner of form, which would have neither positive pole nor negative pole. Only one culminating point of absorption of whatever of it which the major chemical components possess and thus determines its force. But that which you call antimatter must be that which absorbs the matter. Isn't that it? According to some theories of your world you could think, that taking into account, that in space all is surprising, the matter would cease to absorb the antimatter precisely with the intelligence that there exists more bodies, but that is not the case. The non-existence, of parity, in space is matched in the universe. The nothing, as I told you, is greater than the all as you know. Now then, that is another concept that still is not known on Earth. Confused, I asked, how does one explain this? In a simple manner. In space not only is there the all and the nothing, the matter and the antimatter, but the field of energy that exists between those two concepts. In your path, matter can transform all kinds of life, including destroy it. Antimatter would succeed in imposing itself even against all the living elements, but this neutral energy always overcomes, to impose itself even against we antimatter elements. In space all seems to move in the same vibratory rhythm, though the enormous pulsars vibrate in a different manner than the satellites, all having their own movement. Because of this, when the band of photons came dangerously close to our system, millenniums ago, our ancestors did not know how to avoid its noxious effects, and some worlds surrounded by it, perished, and with them the capacity for life. Inhabited worlds were completely desolated after the passage of the photons. That energy eliminated all vestiges of life. For that reason, some civilizations were rescued and re-implanted on other inhabitable worlds. But before this, for the lack of knowledge, our ancestors asked many times, what had happened? It was as if suddenly a planet with inhabitants was converted into an absolutely hybrid planet. The band of photons is one of the greatest threats that exists in the universe, though this is not as dangerous as other clouds in other galaxies. This only absorbs energy from living cells. Does that seem little? I asked in surprise. It is that there exist other classes of antigens. Some completely absorb the systems, with stars and planets, though it is a characteristic process, because later it vomits them and they come to take their original form, though the orbit can change. But other planetary bodies dissolve in the collision with that which you call antimatter. Other types of energy feed on the gases, which they encounter sporadically in space, and others of light, though their nature may be cold and dark. But ... what are they? I asked without understanding. They are antigens, whose transparency is such that they seem inoffensive. It is an invisible force like with energy. You can feel it, but you cannot see it. That characteristic is essential to that force. And unfortunately, many systems, including your solar, are headed toward a band of photons.